Hey, Zesties! It's been quite a long while since I was MIA. How have you been? It has been a tough 4 months and counting for me, but broadly speaking, it has been a tough 2+ years anyway. Some of you may already know why I was MIA, but for those Zesties who don't, here it goes. Last January, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. It was extremely devastating. It took a toll on me physically, mentally, psychologically, and financially. If it took a toll on me on those first three things, how much more did my mom feel at that moment when she was told of her diagnosis? My mom was the main carer of my dad for the past couple of years after he had his angioplasty. After dad's procedure, his kidney disease worsened, and so she had to accompany him to undergo dialysis twice a week. At some point, he got better and didn't need it, but something happened and worsened his condition. The family was extremely focused on our dad because he's quite fragile and gentle. Mom, on the other hand, had a strong demeanor and as if she could conquer even death itself. If moms are the light of the home, as we say it in Filipino, my mom was the lioness of the home, strong, indestructible, feared by everyone, if you know what I mean. So she did bear everything until it became unbearable. I recall several times telling her that she needs to get a checkup. But I reckon she didn't go because she's scared of what it is. Plus, no one's taking her or dragging her there because I was not physically in the Philippines. When we learned of her diagnosis last January, believe me, as much as I didn't look like it, I experienced those stages of grief. I realized those stages don't necessarily have the same gap from one to the other. It's as if each step on the staircase was far taller, wider, or higher than the other steps. I know a lot of people know about the stages of grief, but just to remind you, they are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. In my case, denial became quickly as anger. I can't even say that it was on stages where I felt emotions one after the other. It was more of a mixture of emotions at the same time where at moments I have accepted the fact, but another moment angry and depressed, and another moment bargained, angry and depressed, you know. I was furious. Furious at everyone around her, including her, and including myself. During these few years my parents were ill, including my dad, before this, I realized a fundamental aspect of the expression of love that sometimes is not emphasized by modern-day love expressions. And that is, if you love someone, you need to be healthy for them. I feel like you don't only live for yourself, but for others who need and love you. And I feel that it's selfish for others to think that, oh, this is my body and I will do anything to it, including not being healthy, living dangerously, etc. Yes, it is your body. Yes, it is your life. But what I'm talking about is, if you love someone, take into an ounce of consideration how they will feel too when they lose you because you had a drink and you drove, or you didn't quit smoking, or you ate too much unhealthy food when you had the capability of eating healthier ones. Things like that. It's not to say that everyone who got cancer or who got sick or who died in a car crash or those that simply left this world prematurely didn't love their loved ones because they got sick and so on. Not at all. But what I'm trying to say is to have a bit of consideration so you won't have to go prematurely and they can be with you longer if God permits. I do believe that God has power over whom he takes from this life, but we do have free will, don't we? Free will to stay healthier, free will to drive safely, and so on. So if you think that you shouldn't care about what others feel, and by others, your friends, family, and loved ones, then go ahead. It's fine. I'm just saying that they will be devastated to see you go because of some illness or situation that could have been possibly avoided. The type of life where you had no regrets because you've righted the wrongs but still ended up the same, then at least you've said to yourself that you've done everything you can, no regrets. I know this might sound ridiculous to some, and maybe this is just me. This did remind me of a scene from a K-drama called Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha, where the parent, or at that point the grandma, of the lead actor was sick, and the kid or the son who lives in Seoul, quite far from the town, was telling the mom to go and take a checkup, but the mom didn't really go. So there was a moment where the lead characters were talking about being healthy as well for the kids. So that's what I'm just trying to say, that parents, just be healthy for your kids, please. So that's what I mean. Not really like blaming it on the sick person, but it just to have that consideration to think that I can be healthy, or I will choose a healthier lifestyle for me to be healthy and to be with the loved ones, or vice versa. Anyway, here's a long account of where it first went down. In the third week of January, my mom had to go for an emergency procedure called a colostomy. During an end of colostomy, the end of the colon is brought through the abdominal wall where it may be turned under like a cuff. The edges of the colon are then stitched to the skin of the abdominal wall to form an opening called stoma. Stool drains from the stoma into the bag or pouch attached to the abdomen. The purpose of this is, one, for her not to die a tragic death where the colon will just burst and poison her from all the waste. Second, to ease her pain because the waste couldn't go through in the normal way. All this information has been thrown all over me from several hundred miles away, and it still hit me like distance didn't matter. Apart from this, I had to grapple with the fact of where to find a carer at that time, and the financial means to do so. Both were equally important. There was so much drama at that time, I felt like I was in a medical slash thriller TV series. Because in the Philippines, the hospital doesn't really take care of all your health needs or paperwork, unlike here in Australia or perhaps other developed countries. In the Philippines, if the hospital doesn't have spare blood for the patient's blood type, the family is tasked to do so. A very expensive and excruciatingly painful process of finding quote-unquote donors. This was what happened less than 24 hours before her procedure. The hospital scheduled her operation at 6 a.m. the next day, but by 11 p.m. that night, they informed us, take note, us being me being here in Australia and my only sibling being there in Cebu in the hospital, that they don't have spare blood of her blood type. That was 11 p.m. So we posted all over Facebook to find a donor. And we also tried calling all of the hospitals in Cebu. Even me, I tried calling from here doing international calls. And even Red Cross doesn't have, and all other major hospitals. So in the end, we have to rely on Facebook donors and posts and reposts from friends and Facebook groups. And at that point, I realized how useful social media is at times. It can be both, right? It can be detrimental to your mental health, but it could save lives too. And at this point, it has saved my mom's life. And one of the reasons as well that I don't like to quit social media, even though I don't use it as much anymore, because in tough times, it does serve its purpose. It helps us, it helps other people, and it serves as a conduit for people to help each other. So back to the story. At that time, it was already past midnight even, and honestly, I literally didn't have sleep, and I went to work the next day. So we posted all over Facebook, and of course, there were a lot of willing donors for a fee. I was surprised too that one bag of blood is at least 5,000 pesos. And then we have to pay for the testing of each bag of blood. We were required to, by the way. And if I recall correctly, the testing plus the swab test would be around 3,000 each. Imagine. Although logically, those donors are making a business out of their blood and saving people's lives. But still, it's a little bit excessive. I guess that could have been their bread and butter, so no judgment. But for someone who is financially distressed like me, it's like rubbing salt into the wound. For those quote-unquote willing donors with a high fee, I made them my last resort. And by 4 a.m., as if by divine providence, somebody sent me a message to call a particular number of a military captain. I called the captain and he was willing to go in the morning, so I was relieved. Although the operation got moved slightly later because of the availability of the blood, but I was still slightly relieved. And shout out to Lieutenant Arnado and his team at Camp Lapu-Lapu, Lahu, Cebu City for their kindness and generosity and of course for saving my mom's life. So when somebody that you love is diagnosed with a life-threatening illness and the only way to save them is through money, a commodity that's scarce and limited, will turn your system into survival mode. Needless to say, when one is in survival mode, there's always this adrenaline rush, a combination of logic and 100% focus to do what you have to do. Amidst it all, I was in a roller coaster of emotions, extremely stressed to find solutions, devastated by what's happening, and extremely helpless too. I couldn't forget what I felt and realize at those times. I realized who were my true friends, who truly cared, and who were with me in that fight 100%, not only 50-50, but 100 or even 110. It was definitely hard. Because even before that, even before we got to the hospital, it was super hard to find someone who could take care of my mom whilst I wasn't there. Money is hard to find too, don't get me wrong, but what was harder was to find someone as my extension. And by extension, meaning someone who could provide the standard level of care that I could provide to my mom. Not medical care, because it's beyond my capability. But a tender, loving care beyond the medical one. It was definitely a roller coaster, a whirlwind, a tsunami of emotions and beyond what I could describe you now. You know, that feeling of being helpless and being sad at the same time, like everything. Like, it's just unimaginable how I was able to survive that point, being here too. So anyway, I did what I had to do. Find money, at the same time not drowning in debt. So, in order to afford the medical expenses for my mom and the living expenses of my family back home, I've put up a GoFundMe page. Because my savings and whatever I earn isn't enough to support the expenses and the operation. My parents didn't save enough to be able to do so, and the hospital system has very limited support as well, so it was a very complicated situation I was in. And I felt like the lives of several people, including my mom, partially depends on the financial support I could provide. This isn't even hyperbole. It's a fact. It's like I'm stating a fact, unfortunately. And as you know, asking for donations is an exceptionally humbling experience. Most of the time, we cannot do it alone. We need help. Seek help if you need one. You never know who's out there who's willing to help you, you know? Any type and ounce of support, if you add everything up, can really make or break a situation. Trust me, I've been through this. So I'm truly grateful for my family, relatives, friends, colleagues, strangers, medical staff, and everyone who donated, helped, prayed, supported, and cheered us on during that difficult time. So yes, we were able to save my mom's life in January. stay tuned next time on Where This Story Goes. And thanks, Zesties, for listening and sticking around. And massive shout out to my friend Jem, who has been sticking around and supporting the show all these time I was MIA. So thanks so much, Jem. I really appreciate your support. And if you Zesties would like to show your support to the show as well, or give me a cup of coffee or two, please head down to the episode notes to find out how. I have been MIA recently, so I'm not entirely active on my socials, but in any case, please do follow the show's page on Instagram and Facebook, that's at Gleeful Talk Show. You can also email me at gleefultalkshow@gmail.com for any feedback, story, and topic recommendations. If you like the show, please hit like and subscribe, and even give a review. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.